All right, take your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to get some water. Hang on. Proverbs chapter 1. We are starting a new topic this week in the book of Proverbs. Tonight, we're going to begin the topic of the fear of the Lord. And I think this will help you tonight. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray, and then I'll get right to the teaching. Father, please help us. Help us as we study your word. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us to take it at face value. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach it through me to us. And Lord, change us, and may we walk closer to you because of it tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The most repeated phrase in the book of Proverbs is that one little phrase, the fear of the Lord. Now, the word wisdom is repeated more times, but as far as phrases go, the phrase, the fear of the Lord, is the most used phrase. I start by saying this. What is the fear of the Lord? How do we get it? Why do we need it? And what in the world is it? Do you realize how powerful God is? Sometimes we don't take God at face value. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." If you added all the power of every volcano, every tornado, every storm, every earthquake, every tsunami, every natural cataclysmic thing, add to that all of the machine power, all the electric power, add to that all the manpower and animal power, God is more powerful. You can add all of our weaponry power, all the atomic bombs, everything else. God said, all power in heaven and in earth. You say, how powerful is God? Well, he spoke and the worlds were created. He spoke and he separated the water from the dry ground. He spoke and put the stars in place. He spoke and at his very word, all of creation took place. Try that sometime. Man does not create life in a test tube. God does. Man doesn't create anything. The word create means you take nothing and make something from it. You can't create. He said, well, we have man-made. Well, it might be man-made, but it's not man-created. You can't take air and turn it into anything. But God did. He took his words and spoke everything into existence. That's how powerful God is. Matter of fact, Bible says that when Jesus spoke, the winds and waves obeyed his voice.
That's right.
He not only created them, but he had power over them, and they had to obey him. He stopped the rain for 3.5 years one time, and for other periods of time, other places throughout the Bible. There were other times he said rain, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and flooded the world for a year. You see, we think we have life all figured out. We think we have some power. We think we have some authority. God said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Folks, is all God's got to do is breathe the wrong way and you're gone. Let's face it, is all he has to do is say, you're done, and you're done. God says we need the fear of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to be afraid of God. I'm going to teach you some things about this tonight. The key word to this, that whole phrase is this, the fear of the Lord, not being afraid of God. It means it's the fear of the Lord. And that word Lord is the key word. Let me show you why. The word Lord is a position of authority. If you went to Great Britain, you have lords of the majesty. They are rulers with the majesty. And that word Lord is a ruling word. It would be like king, president, high power. Don't get mad at me when I say this. And I'm parsing words here on purpose. There are some preachers that get up and say, unless you make Jesus Lord and Savior, you're not saved. That's work salvation, and it's heresy. He's already Lord. You don't have to make him Lord. You have to submit to his lordship, but he's already Lord. You don't make him Lord. You can't make him Lord because you don't have the power to make him Lord. He is to be your Savior.
Yes, sir.
He is the Lord and Savior. But he has to be your Savior before he can become your Lord. You have to be a part of his kingdom before you can say that you are part of it. Make sense to everybody? So be careful. And again, I know I'm parsing words there. I'm getting a little technical, but it bothers me a little bit because there's something out there called lordship salvation. You have to make him Lord of your life or you really didn't get it. That's called works salvation. That's where people start judging. Well, show me your fruits and I'll show you if you're saved or not. Well, nobody made you the fruit inspector. Only God has that power. Well, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Yeah, and we're smelling your stinky fruit too. God says, judge not that you be not judged. So who made you King Tut? You see, God says we are to have the fear of his lordship or his power or his position or his authority. There is to be a fear of the Lord himself. Now, we need to fear God's position, his authority, his ability to judge us, but we are not to be afraid of God. Does that make sense to everybody? Let me show you what I mean. There's not but three other people in this room that would understand this. There were many people who were afraid of Dr. Jack Hiles. You say, why? Well, he was pastor of the world's largest Sunday school. We ran 25,000 folks every Sunday. The last many years of his life, we baptized 15,000 people every year. I don't remember the last decade of his life baptizing less than 10,000 people in a year. 10,000 in a year. In some years, many years, those years, over 15,000. Okay? That's a lot. He's the only man in history to have over 2 million people get saved under his ministry. Just an amazing man. There were many people... Joe and Leanne know what I'm talking about, my wife. Everybody was afraid. When Brother Hiles looked at you, he looked through you. Everybody talked about his eyes would just pierce you. But when you got to know Brother Hiles, you weren't afraid of him. You really weren't. You respected his position. You respected what he was and what he did, but you really weren't afraid of him. I saw him the last morning that he was ever in the office. Stayed back and talked with him. He asked me to put his briefcase on his desk because he said he was having troubles with his back. He had already had a heart attack on Tuesday. This is Friday. And then within a few days, he was going to have open heart surgery and then soon be in heaven. He had a heart attack in Monterrey, Mexico on Tuesday, preached Tuesday night, stayed awake all night Tuesday night, flew back on Wednesday, preached church on Wednesday night after teachers and officers meeting, and didn't go to the doctor until Friday. One tough 74-year-old paratrooper, let me tell you. Stubborn, too. But wait a minute. I was never afraid of him personally. But I respected his position. I remember being on staff, and I was 29 years old when I went to work for him. And he wanted me to come see him one morning he said, just knock on my door at 11:45. He said, don't bother Irma, just knock on my door. He said, the guard bothers you, tell him you got an appointment with me at 11:45 and tell him I told you to knock on the door. I said, all right. I'm standing outside the door at 11:40. Watching my watch, 11:45 came. I walked over towards the door, and I started knocking on that door. And I thought, and I got a little jittery inside, and I thought, how many people in the world would love this opportunity one time? Just to meet him. And I didn't ask for the meeting, he did. And I knew what it was about, so I wasn't afraid. It was a good meeting, not a bad meeting. And he was a very loving man. There were people, and by the way, I never lost my respect for his position. But I was never afraid of him. Does that make sense to everybody? I respected and feared his position, but I did not, and I was not afraid of him personally. You see, God's power is not there to hurt us. It's there to help us. God does not want his power used against us or his children. No parent wants to use their power against their child. Does that make sense? Any parent that enjoys using their power against their child, something's wrong with you.
Yes, sir.
No parent that must paddle a child or correct a child or use their authority in a harsh way enjoys that with their children. Nobody does. And anybody that knows how to love at all never does enjoy it. They do it, but they don't enjoy it. See, they want to use their power to protect their child, not to hurt their child. They want to use their power to protect the people they love, not hurt the people that they love. God's power is much like electricity. As long as it's all hooked up right and stays connected, no problem at all. But if there's a break in the line and you grab into it, look out. You grab the wrong spot, it's going to bark and bite. Now, you can touch that switch all day long and it's not going to bother you. But you open up that switch plate and reach in there and touch a couple of those wires with your fingers, and your hair is going to curl a little bit more. And if you don't have any, your scalp will curl. You see, it's the person who mishandles or foolishly handles it that gets in trouble. The same is true with God. It's not the power that's the problem. It's the mishandling of God that's the problem. Proverbs not only defines what the fear of the Lord is, but he tells us how to get it and the benefits from it. And that's what I want to share with you over the next couple few weeks. We're going to jump right into this. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. We read it earlier. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, that means the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm sorry. I misquoted that. So, the first ingredient of the fear of the Lord is this. It's the beginning of knowledge. Because of sin, man wants to be his own God or his own authority. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And Satan said, oh, you don't need to listen to God. You could be like God, knowing, that's knowledge, good and evil for yourself. You could decide what's right and wrong for yourself. You won't need God. And Adam and Eve said, I'd like to be like God and decide like God, so I'll do that. And since that time, the battle has been, are we right or is God right? And our sin has caused us to, most of the time, side with self, not side with God. Too many times, well, I can do it just this once. It won't hurt me this time. You see, because of sin, man wants to be his own God or his own authority. We cannot learn until we submit to a higher authority, and that takes fear. I've trained educators, I've trained preachers, you name it. One of the wisest educators, I heard him say this to his staff almost every year, don't smile for the first 3 weeks. It's easier to back off than it is to get harder. I used to think, why in the world? You put 7th and 8th graders in a room, you'll find that out one day. You put high schoolers in that room one day, you'll figure it out. You got to come down hard and then every once in a while lighten up here and there. You say, why is that? To establish the authority of the teacher. That's why there's not much knowledge in our public educational system today. There's no authority behind the podium. There's not. I didn't childproof my house a lot. When my kids started toddling around, we took a tour of the house. That's a no-no. They'd reach their hand up. That's a no. I had one. We pound and pound. We had a powwow. We powed and powed and he wowed and wowed. Matter of fact, we bought him a shirt, or somebody bought him a shirt, and it said, "My name is No-No." First word he ever said was no. And I think he still, never mind. You see, they needed to know there was fear, there was pain, and when you said no, it means no. My little beagle dog. She's a dog. But I promise you one thing, if she hears me say, "Hey, no." Yeah, buddy, the tail's down, head's down, ears are down. Okay, now what? She knows that means it's time to beat feet and get back or just halt. Say why? Because something's about to come unscrewed if she doesn't. You say, why? There's enough fear there. Now, she doesn't tremble around me, but when she hears that tone of voice, she does. You say, why? Because I'm trying to protect her. I'm not trying to hurt her. There's been some fear instilled so that she does not get herself hurt and killed. Missionary family were over in Africa, and the missionary taught his family, because he knew where he was at. He would train his children, and he would say, if I ever say, stop, I want you to stop immediately. Don't even put your foot down. He said, if I tell you to do something strange, like get on your belly, just get on your belly. He said, whatever I say or your mama says, you may not understand why, but if you stop and hesitate and say, but why, it could be that much difference between life and death. As he taught and trained his children, one day he and one of his children were walking somewhere. He was ahead of them, and he turned around and looked at his son. He said, son, stop. The son had his foot in the air, and he stopped. He said, I want you to take one step back, and I want you to get down on your belly, and I want you to crawl. Don't look. Just crawl to me. Crawled about 15 feet, got to him. The daddy picked him up in his arms. He said, I want to tell you how proud I am of you. And he turned him around, and there was a 24-foot anaconda snake hanging out of the tree ready to grab that child as he walked by. He said, that's why I told you not to do that. He said, had you taken one more step, you'd have been lunch. And I could have never rescued you. Because there's no way one human could pull that snake off of that child. He knew enough to train his children. They listened to daddy from then on, believe me. You see, you have to fear the fire so you don't touch the hot stove. Or the hot iron. Or sniff the hot toaster. Or anything else. One of my children used to smell everything. And we told him one day, don't smell the toaster that close. And he didn't smell he smelled it, but he didn't want to ever smell it that close again. His little old nose got red and shiny and blistered, amen? Looked like the Wicked Witch of the West right on the end there, except it wasn't a wart. You see, you've got to learn the fear of that fire and what it can do so that you don't get hurt by it. You must fear the punishment of breaking the rules or you'll not learn in school. Reason kids graduate from high school and can't hardly read or write is because there's no fear in knowledge. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. There is very little to no fear in education today. Just give the children whatever they want. Let's not keep grades. Let's do things in a different way so that some don't feel slighted. oh, back in the 60s and 70s, they came out with the bell curve. You had to have as many A's for every F so that everybody had the same grade. That's called communism. You get what you get. You earn what you earned, or you fail if you fail. Everybody needs to get the grade they deserve, put it on there, A, B, C, D, or F. Right. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Hurt it bad enough to where they don't want to get another F. You see, there has to be fear in knowledge in the work world. That's why a lot of people don't fear their boss. It's strange. It's a weird work system. And I got to hurry up here. Number two, turn to Proverbs chapter, fear of the Lord is hating five things, and I forgot to write down which verse it was here. Hang on. I'll find it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It'd work better if I'd write my own verses down, wouldn't it? Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. I knew which street it was on. I just forgot which house it was. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. There are five things God says you have to hate in order to get the fear of the Lord. We ran through these a few weeks ago. I'm just going to touch them lightly. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is hating these five things. Evil. That is a conspiracy to hurt or to destroy somebody in some way. If somebody wants to try to ruin your reputation, that's evil. If somebody wants to try to ruin you financially, that's evil. If somebody wants to ruin you physically, that's evil. When two or more people get together to conspire against someone, that becomes evil. By the way, the Lord, it's not always a negative thing. The Bible says God repented, the Lord repented of the evil that he thought to do unto the children of Israel. Now notice it takes two people to have evil. How could God have evil for the children of Israel? He was about ready to destroy them in the wilderness a couple times. And the Bible says he repented of the evil that he had thought to do unto the children of Israel. Say, how did it become evil? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together in agreement. And Moses changed God's mind. There was a conspiracy of all three to obey and do that. And Moses was able to and get the opinion changed. So evil is to ruin somebody's reputation, to destroy them financially, physically, but it's going after someone purposely to hurt them. I helped someone recently. They were being attacked and trying to get their reputation and even somewhat physically being attacked and financially. And I've stood with them. You say, why? Because it's been evil and I'll fight evil. I hate evil. I don't hate evil people. I hate evil. I've had evil done against me. I've always prayed, God, remove the evil, but protect the evildoer. I don't want the evildoer destroyed. I think it's wicked as the devil to pray for God to kill somebody that's evil. You're no better than the evildoer. You're praying for destruction of somebody. How about you pray for the evil to stop? How about you pray that God gets a hold of the evil person so that they get saved and get right with God? That would be better yet. The Bible also says that you're for the fear of the Lord, you have to hate pride. This is thinking of yourself above the rules. This is you being your own God. This is you setting your own rules. This is when you tell your children, you do that, but I don't have to because I'm your dad. I'm your mom. I don't have to live by those rules. That's what Washington, D.C. does. That's what the press does. Look at the next thing is arrogancy. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy. Arrogancy is lifting yourself up positionally to a position that's not yours to have. It's like when mom and dad leave and the oldest one's in charge. And they become a tyrant. They take a position that's not theirs to have. I'm just going by experience over my years here. It's like when the boss leaves and leaves somebody in charge, and the person they left in charge takes it too much to heart and too much to head. Amen. And it's like there is no pleasing this person because they're trying to be the CEO of the company, and they're nothing. Well, I have a position now. They left me in charge. Yeah, beat on your chest, King Kong. It won't matter. Isaiah 14, Lucifer, while he was heaven, said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. He was arrogant. He was lifting himself to a position that was not his to be taking. Saying you know more than your leaders is arrogancy. Be careful. You might, Brother Hiles used to say, don't preach everything you know because somebody might ask you a question. A lot of wisdom in that. It's amazing how many people that think they know everything when they get to talking don't know as much as they think they know. Saying you know more than the authority knows generally is not a wise statement. So we're to hate evil, we're to hate pride, we're to hate arrogancy, we're to hate the evil ways. I love this. That means this, the pathways that lead to evil. The pathways of evil, of an evil lifestyle. And it means being with the people who are evil. A pathway or a way, Brother Larry, when you're out in the woods, you're looking for trail for deer. They'll follow pathways. Anybody been out in the woods very long, deer hunting, man, you can walk up on a situation and you can see all the trails, you know where all the deer are going. You look for all the crossings and get into a spot where you have multiple crossings in one area. Because that's your best chance of getting something because they're crisscrossing all down through there. But the pathways are worn. Sometimes it's just leaves that are kicked down. Sometimes it's dirt that they've actually walked it so much that they've kicked everything off the trail. Multiple things. But you're looking for that pathway. It means you know something's going up and down that line. And then you get to October, November-ish, and you got rubs and you got scrapes. You got bark off the side of trees, and you know the bucks are running through there because they're scratching their antlers on there and leaving scent. You got lick branches and scrapes on the ground, and you say, we're getting hotter and hotter here. And you sit up closer and closer to those areas because you know those pathways are being frequented by the deer. God says we're to hate evil pathways just like that. We're to avoid the pathway of evil. We're to avoid those that travel those pathways of evil. You see, too many times we won't be evil, but we'll associate with evil. Everybody doing all right? By our entertainment, our social media, our games, our friendships. Be careful that you're not friends with people that travel evil paths. I'm hurrying here because I really want to get to another one. Last thing here, a froward mouth. Bible says that a froward mouth do I hate. The word froward means fraud or false accusing. Person I was saying recently, I was standing with them against evil. It's been a fraudulent case. Somebody is speaking fraud, lies, falsehoods about them. That bothers me. I can put up with a lot, but don't make the that. That's why the United States press really. If you watch the news and believe it, you have problems. Whatever they tell you, if you believe the opposite, you'll be close. I'm just telling you the truth. The United States media is fraudulent. They're full of lies, amongst other things. They're full of. Just filth and vile and reprobate. They're full of evil. You see, to have the fear of the Lord, you have to hate these five things and literally stand against them. Remember I said that word hate doesn't mean just dislike? Remember we discussed for weeks what hatred was? Hatred is actually standing against something. So you have to hate it bad enough to stand against it. That's why I say no cliques at Grace Baptist Church. That's why I say no gossip at Grace Baptist Church. Hold your stinking tongue. If you can't say something nice, just keep your mouth shut. If you want to criticize somebody, get down on your knees and criticize us to God. See if he'll listen to you. You say, preacher, doesn't that bother you? Nope, not at all. Not at all. You say, why? That's why we have God blessing our church. And I really believe that. So God says, first of all, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Second of all, it's hating five things. Next, look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, next, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge, but it's also the beginning of wisdom. Now, wisdom is seeing life as God sees it. It's getting a view of life from God's perspective. Recently, Brother Barnes has taken up a little bit more in hunting. And we were putting some stands up last year. And I can walk into a field, Brother Larry, you can, because you've been hunting so long. And we can look on the ground and, okay, the deer are crossing here, 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 here. They're crossing. Okay, this is a good spot. That's a good tree. Let's put the stand right there. Brother Barnes is trying to figure out where all that's at because he hadn't been at it long enough. That's not his fault. He just hadn't been hunting as much as I have. So I put my climber in there. I said, Brother Barnes, take this up that tree and you stop when I tell you to stop. Don't look down. He got that thing about 12, 15 feet in the air. And I said, now, turn around, sit down, and look out there. He said, preacher. He said, man, I see trails everywhere. I said, yeah, that's a different viewpoint up there, isn't it? Now, I know what I'm looking for down here, but it even looks different to anybody once you get a little higher and you look down on it. Then you start clearing limbs out to really open it up. And that perspective is looking down on it to see. Can I tell you something? God's got a better view of it than you do.
Yes, sir.
Wisdom is seeing life from God's eyes. The fear of God causes you to know him and to see him and to fear him and his decisions about life much differently. Let me say it this way. God is not the police. God is not your buddy. God's not a puppeteer pulling everybody's strings to make you do whatever he wants you to do. He's God. And he knows and sees what you cannot see, and he knows what you cannot know. I'll use Brother Hiles again. I would sit in staff meetings every second, fourth Saturday night. We'd have men's staff meeting. We'd meet for a couple hours often. And we would go around the room, question after question after question after question, until everybody's questions were in, and sometimes it was 2-3 hours, sometimes even a little longer. We kept track of the business and the ministries and taking care of the running of the church and the leadership of the church this way. And I would sit there and listen, and I always had an empty notebook, Brother Mike, and maybe a 3x5 card with a question or two. Say why? Because what he had to say was more important than what I needed to ask. And I'd hear somebody ask a question, I'd say, ooh, man, I never thought of that. And I'd listen to his answer, and I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't sound right to me, but after I build a church running 25,000, I can tell somebody else something different. Till then, I'm going to do what he says. There were times I did not understand why he said what he said. But I decided at 70 years old, 71 years old, he'd been pastoring for over 50 years. I figured he'd made enough mistakes and he had seen enough success to know a whole lot better than a 29, 30-year-old guy that didn't know nothing. And I didn't have to do what he said his way, but I figured it was better to do it that way. I'd make fewer mistakes.
Yes, sir.
One time I asked him a question. He said, "Well, Craig, if I were you, I would do it this way." And I said, "That's not what I asked. I said, what would you do?" He said, "Well, I'm old and set in my ways." And I might do it a little. I said, "I didn't ask what you wanted. I said, I'm not even asking what you want me to do. I'm asking you, how would you do this?" And he said, "Well, I would never require you to do it the way I do it." I said, "I didn't ask that. I want to know, what would you do?" And we bantered back and forth for about 2 minutes that way. And he finally said, "Well, I would do this, I'd do this, I'd do that." I said, "Thank you, sir. That's what I'll do." It was harder, but I'd rather do it his way than my way. He was willing to concede to let me do it two other ways, but I wanted to do it the way he would do it. Say, why? He'd been around the block a few more times than I had. I figured he knew better how to do it than I did. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you start fearing his authority, you start looking to follow him. Therefore, you're watching for his leadership. As you watch for his leadership, you start thinking like leadership. Then you start seeing life as he sees it, and life starts making a whole lot more sense. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Many of you have raised your kids. When you were a kid, you'd say, "I'm never going to tell my child this." And after the first 3 years, everything you said you weren't going to say, you said multiple times. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Say, why? Because you found out what you did not like was the right thing years later. And we've all been there. Matter of fact, I called my parents more than once and apologized for things. You see, God is God. He sees what you cannot see. And when we begin to fear his authority, we fear his position, we have the fear of the lordship of God, then we begin to try to look at life through his eyes and less through our own eyes. Man in his own wisdom is pretty stupid. That's where you get Catholicism. That's where you get Buddhism. That's where you get reincarnation. That's where you get Muslims and Hindus and Shintus and Tutus and all those other things. You know, you got the Hutus and the Wachis, and you got them all. You got voodoo, and I'm going to stop there. I'm going to get in trouble probably, but it's all a bunch of other dudes. Yeah, can I tell you something? Man left to himself is pretty ignorant. He can't even figure out what bathroom to use. He can't figure out if he's man or woman anymore. And a man who thinks he's intelligent is probably the most dangerous person in the world. It's easy to take a guy who doesn't know nothing and teach him to do something. You don't have to unteach him what he did know. Somebody's in a skilled trade, Brother Larry, a stone mason. You take a guy piddling around with concrete block every once in a while, and he tries to teach him what to do. "Oh, I know what to do." Brother Larry doesn't want to mess with him. Now, Brother Larry will mess with me because I don't know nothing, Brother Larry. You just tell me what to grab, I'll do it. I'll whatever you say. I can be dumb labor, and I do good at it. I'll learn as we go, but I am not telling you what to do. You say, why? Because that's not my area of expertise. It's just not. So why should I tell him how to do something he's done for 50 years or longer? I'm not going to do it. So wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom because it's the beginning of knowledge. And that knowledge and that wisdom comes because you recognize his authority, you recognize his power, and you begin to want to mold in to be more like what he wants you to be, and you quit being less like what you want to be. And that's what the fear of the Lord's all about. It's 8 o'clock and I got to shut up. I want to keep going, but we'll go pick that up next Wednesday. Let's all stand to our feet.